Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready? No, stay standing. This is a morning for miracles. If you don't want a miracle, leave. But if you need a miracle, you have come to the right place. Miracles are going to happen in this room before this meeting ends. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? We're not talking about them. We're going to perform them in the name of Jesus. We're going to see God's mighty hand at work. Do I have any believers in the room? Right. Father, we thank you that apart from you, we can do nothing. But for you, nothing is impossible. So we thank you for all that you're going to do in and among us this morning for the praise of your holy name, so that we can go as a people liberated to perform miracles in your name out there in the world. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Right now, we're going to start in the Old Testament. Some good stuff in the Old Testament. I'm working on that now for the truth. Come on. This is the Red Sea. I told you it was a morning of miracles, so get your faith perception working. That's the Red Sea. Over here represents Egypt. Now, Egypt in the time of Moses was the place of bondage. It was the place of slavery. God's people had been kept for 400 years in bondage. They'd suffered a lot of deprivation, abuse, and God had seen the needs of his people. And he'd heard them crying out to them. Sometimes people wonder why God allows, he doesn't cause, but he allows people to go through all kinds of difficult situations. The reality is, if they didn't, they would never see their need of God and would never cry out to him to be saved and delivered. There are many people living in the world today in Egypt. They're actually in bondage, but they don't realize it because they've got everything they want, everything they need. So they're not crying out to God. They don't see their need of salvation, their need of God, their need of anything, because they've just got what they want for now. We need to pray for them, because that's real deception, isn't it? To think that you've got everything you need and the very one you need most is Jesus and you don't have him. I mean, that is an ultimate deception. So God spoke to Moses and sent him back to Egypt. You remember he'd been brought up there, very privileged position in Pharaoh's court, brought up by his daughter. He had everything he needed. He could have lived like a prince. But he went and identified with the needs of his people. There's no time to go through the whole scenario, is there? But he went off, and 40 years later, when he was just minding his sheep and his own business, God sent him back to the very place where he would never want to go again, Egypt. But he sent him back to deliver his people. Now, at first, because the heart of Pharaoh was so hardened against God, the state of the people there that were in bondage grew worse, not better. Have you ever been in a situation where you begin to cry out to God and things get worse? And you think, what's going on here? Isn't he hearing me? Isn't he answering me? Doesn't he care? But of course, the worse the situation gets, the bigger the glory for God when he changes it. And the greater your thanksgiving, and the more you recognize your need of God and your thankfulness for what he's done for you. Hello. So finally, after all the plagues that had happened and the killing of the firstborn and so on, and the Passover that had kept all the children of Israel from that plague, the people are released to leave Egypt. And they plunder the Egyptians. They bring with them the silver and the gold, just as God had promised them. So now Moses has fulfilled what God sent him to do, and he has delivered the people from bondage. Now the Lord is going with them. The Lord is going before them to lead them in the way that he wants to go. And he revealed his presence in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they are moving out of bondage. But then they come to the Red Sea. Now that is a barrier that is barring their way. Well, that would be an obstacle to be overcome in any eventuality. But the problem was that they were being pursued by the people that had put them in bondage. The Pharaoh and his army were after them. So now they felt trapped. Ever felt trapped by your circumstances? And you can't see the way forward. And what it says in the scripture is the people looked and saw the enemy pursuing them, and they panicked. And of course, when people panic for lack of faith, what do they always do? They blame their church leaders. Oh, let me tell you, after 46 years of it, I can tell you they blame the church leaders. Because it couldn't be their fault. It's not right to blame God, so we blame the church leaders. So they blame Moses. What have you done, Moses? We're about to be killed by this army. We were better off when we were in slavery in Egypt than being annihilated. At least we had some form of life there, bondage though it was. And Moses, the presence of the Lord, remember, is in front of them. And see the enemy behind them, but they're looking not at the presence of the Lord, they're looking at the enemy. That's why they're panicking.
That's it. Come on.
And so Moses starts crying out to God. And God says to him very nicely, "What do you think you're doing, you nutcase? What are you crying out to me for? Haven't I promised you that I would deliver you? Why are you looking back at the enemy? Look at what lies ahead of you. You don't look back at the need or whatever it is that's pursuing you to try to get hold of you, you look ahead of you." And so God gives him the assurances that he will perform a miracle. All he's got to do is stretch out his hand, stretch out the staff that he held over the sea, and the sea would part. And the presence of the Lord that was going before them went and stood behind them to be a protection from the enemy being able to get hold of them before they had all crossed the Red Sea.
So the Lord performed the miracle that was needed, and all the people passed over in safety. Of course, we know that when the Egyptians tried to follow them, arm over sea again, waters come together, whole Egyptian army drowned. That's the end of that one. God knows you. God knows your circumstances. Some of you may feel trapped, that the only way ahead needs a miracle. Okay, well, let's have one then. This morning. We don't have to wait for the miracles that God is prepared to perform this morning. Of course, you can look back at the circumstances that caused you to feel trapped. And if you do that, faith drains out of you. Because the more you look at the circumstances, the more difficult it seems for you ever to get free from the situation you're in. What pursues you, the enemy that's pursuing you, might be sickness. It might be debt. It might be some relational issues. It might be any number of things. But you see, God's word to Moses was understood by Paul. You remember when he was writing to the Philippians, he said, I've learned not to look back. I've learned to look forward, to reach out for that which lies ahead of me, to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Listen, just watch me for a moment. If you look back, you can't take hold of what is in front of you. Your arms are in the wrong position.
That's it. Very good.
You can only take hold when you're facing in the right direction. So Paul understood, I haven't yet taken hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. But forgetting what lies behind me. Forgetting what lies behind me. Forgetting what got me into the situation I'm in now, I'm reaching out to the only one who can set me free from that. I'm taking hold of him because he took hold of me. And when he took hold of me, Paul is saying, his decision was to give me everything that he has. So some of you might have a Red Sea. I didn't see how many raised their hands earlier when Pastor Clive was leading in that time of prayer. But if you raised your hand, it's because you realize you're in a Red Sea situation. Well, praise God, this is a parting of the Red Sea morning. It's a time when we are going to see the miracle power of God at work. It isn't that we have got to wait for some moment in the future for the miracle. Because the miracle comes as soon as you believe the miracle. Are you there? Let's listen to Jesus for a moment. He taught the disciples how to pray. They said to him, Lord, we want you to teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So Jesus taught this principle of prayer. We find it in in Mark chapter 11. You can turn there if you like, especially if you've got the truth version, of course. And in verse 22, Jesus answered, "Have faith in God." Now, you see, the Lord was before them. Now, it doesn't matter if you feel trapped in your circumstances or whatever you're in, state you're in, the Lord is not only with you. You say, well, it might be easier if I had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, the pillar of cloud represents, and the fire, they represent the presence and the glory of God. Well, I'm afraid you don't have a pillar before you because that fire and that glory is now within you.
Absolutely. Come on.
So God doesn't need to put a pillar there in front of you because he's already put it within you. That's what happened when you got saved and when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. God put his glory, he put his fire. Amen. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, and you have the fire within you. Are you there? So you have faith in God. You are looking ahead. You're not looking back, forgetting what lies behind. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone speaks to a mountain, now the Red Sea was a mountain. That's not a geological statement, it's a spiritual statement. But you understand it. That was the mountain that needed to be moved. Mind you, there might have been a few mountains under the surface of the water that needed to be moved at the same time. But anyway, we won't go into that. I tell you the truth, if anyone speaks, is there an anyone here? You see, if this is Jesus addressing anyone, then he's addressing you. If anyone says to this mountain, it's not if Pastor Colin or Moses or some mighty man of God or something like that comes along. He said, if anyone speaks to this mountain by saying, go throw yourself into the sea, the mountain will be moved for him. Now, look. So long as he does not doubt in his heart. Now, you see, I said there's going to be miracles here this morning. How many of you, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but how many of you doubted in your heart that that would happen? I said you could be trapped in your situation. God will give you a miracle this morning. How many of you doubted that? You see, God can't answer prayers of doubt.
That's it.
But he answers prayers of faith. Okay, but don't worry if you doubted 10 minutes ago, because that's now behind you. It's 10 minutes in the past. So you're not looking back on that. You're going to look forward. Okay, Lord, you can do a work of faith in me this morning so I can have my miracle. You see, what happens? I mean, you've got all these people in the world that tell you to look at the circumstances. Look at what's pursuing you. Look what's trying to get hold of you. Look at the sickness. Look at the symptoms. Look at the debt. Look at the problem. And of course, because you're members of Kingdom Faith, you never fall for that one. You say, no. Those things are behind me. I'm looking to the Lord. I'm looking to the one who is ahead of me. I'm looking to the future. It doesn't matter if it seems like there's a mountain range or if it seems like there's a Red Sea there. My God is the miracle working God who will give me the miracle that I need. But God first has to deal with the doubt in the heart. You see, it's not a question of, oh, well, I believe. But God, who is the one who sees our heart, sees, well, actually, you don't, do you? You see, what is having faith in your heart? Well, you can look that way, you can look that way. It's choosing to look that way. And not turn back that way. It's not to be double-minded. Well, I believe, but... And, oh, yes! Oh, dear! We keep our focus ahead. And you see, I mean, God was really upset with Moses that he even prayed about it. He said, well, wait a minute. I've led you out. I brought you to this point. Do you think I'm going to desert you now? I mean, it's a miracle to get out of bondage, but now my miracle is to get you into complete freedom. Just leaving you in a neutral place is not sufficient. I want you to enjoy complete freedom. That's why Paul says it is for freedom Christ has set us free. So, anyone who speaks to the mountain by saying, go throw yourself into the sea, the mountain will be moved for him so long as he does not doubt in his heart, but truly believes that what he says must happen. That miracle must happen. It's not, oh, will he, won't he, does he want to, doesn't he want to, do I feel it happening or don't I feel it happening? I mean, that's not faith. That's sort of spiritual Ludo.
Yeah.
No. I mean, faith says, right, that's it.
Come on.
I have my miracle.
Yes.
Perhaps the miracle will manifest itself immediately. Perhaps it will manifest itself over a period of time. But I've got it.
Right.
And no one can take it from me. The enemy that's pursuing me cannot take what God has given me. So, if he does not doubt in his heart, but truly believes that what he says must happen, so I tell you, Jesus says,
yes.
No matter what you ask in prayer, no matter how big the miracle may seem that you need, no matter what you ask in prayer, believe it is yours already.
Yes.
And it will be yours. So what does that look like? Well, it means you walk out here this morning with your miracle. And you keep your eyes ahead on Jesus and what he has said and what he has promised is being fulfilled. And there's no looking back. And there's no turning back. Now, as soon as the Israelites looked back and saw the army, they panicked. Because we can be in situations which in the natural are so bad that would be the natural reaction. Panic. But once you have your miracle, you might momentarily doubt, but you won't panic.
That's it. Right. Very good.
You know, thoughts may come, people may say something, and just for a moment, you think, is this real? Is this really mine? Is this? But you see, because you've been in the place of faith, as soon as you listen to any thought or word of doubt, you immediately repent. Say, oh Lord, forgive me. Let me put all this in context for you. Most of you will know that when God provided the finances for us to buy Rafi, he performed a miracle. Now, I'm only going back over this because there's some things for you to learn. We agreed to buy Rafi. We put a tender in. Ours was not the lowest tender, actually, we discovered later. But it was the one that the owners accepted because we were the only ones who were offering cash as part of this tender. You had to say how you were going to pay. We had not told them that we didn't have any because nobody asked us whether we had it. And at that time, we'd never, ever been in debt, and we always paid for everything by cash. So we said we were going to pay by cash. Now, we were committed legally. We'd signed documents and all the rest of it. If God had not supplied that money, Kingdom Faith would have ceased to exist at that moment. The whole future of Kingdom Faith hung in the balance as to whether God would provide the money to buy that place by the time we needed it. Now, people said to me when we signed those documents, "Whoa, what faith you must have had." And I said to them, no, that was not faith. Because according to Jesus, you're not in a position of faith till you believe you've got the money. When we signed, we believed that God would supply. But that's not faith. We wouldn't be in the place of faith according to Jesus until we believed we had received the money. And just after we signed the contracts, I was off in Singapore speaking at a big Asian conference for the whole of Asia. And there was an afternoon when I didn't have any meetings, so I shut myself away in my hotel room and got before God. Now, I knew there was no point in just saying, "Lord, I believe you are going to supply the money." I actually had to have an encounter with God so that as a result of that, I knew I had the money. So I'd learned enough by then, although this is many years ago now, I learned enough that you don't seek the Lord for money, you seek the Lord for Himself. So I got before God, and you know the Lord never misses an opportunity. I found myself repenting of all kinds of things that I didn't know I needed to repent of. Because you see, when you're trapped, you will do anything to get out of the trap. And God doesn't miss an opportunity to do more refining refining and pruning in your life. So he had me where he wanted me. There weren't any major issues, but there were things that God, well, come on, let's deal with this and this and this and this. And it wasn't that he was getting, you know, to me to look at myself. I wasn't going through a self-analytical process. I was just reaching out to God. Now, Jesus says that we should rejoice that the Father loves us enough to discipline us. And Jesus says that the Father prunes us as branches of the vine in order that we may be more fruitful still. I found often that when people When God starts to prune people, even here in Kingdom Faith, they leave and go to another church. And then they blame the leadership, say, oh, well, I got hurt. Well, how can you be pruned without getting hurt? Hello? Pruning is a hurtful process. But it's not the leadership that do it necessarily. It's usually what God is doing, what God is confronting people for. But if they want to avoid the pruning shears, they'll go off. Hello? So I wasn't going to avoid anything because the whole of Kingdom Faith Future and all the people that we had, you know, in Kingdom Faith, in the community at that time, their whole livelihoods depended upon what was happening. So I felt rather responsible for that. So I was in this place, and I was on my knees by my bedside for about 2 hours, I think, while God was just dealing with this and that. It wasn't horrendous. It was actually rather good. I just felt more and more liberated as this process was going on. And then suddenly, I saw the Lord in His glory. So you seek the Lord. Who is it you're going to meet? The Lord. I saw the Lord in His glory. And He spoke just this one sentence: Colin, I give you $1 million. That's all He said. But you see, I came back to all the people in the fellowship here and said, God has given me $1 million. Not one person said to me, well, let's see it then. Because they all understood the principles of faith. And they all understood Colin's broken through to that place where he knows he's received it. You see, while you say, God will, you haven't received it. God will heal me, you haven't received it. God will provide for me, you haven't received it. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And you all know the end of the story, or I wouldn't be telling it. On the very last day, that legally it could arrive, the gift of $1 million arrived, and we paid cash for Rafi. Praise God for His faithfulness. And nobody outside of the fellowship knew about that, so we weren't going around parading it and talking about it publicly. I was actually, just before the Lord provided it, I was in Australia. I was phoning my wife every week because this was before mobile phones, when you could only afford an international call once a week. And I was saying, has my $1 million arrived yet? No. But I passed through Singapore, you see, on the way back. And Singapore is where God gave me the promise, and Singapore is where God gave me the provision. But God is faithful. Amen. But what God wants is for us to be in this place of faith where we believe we have received it. Whatever it is. Whatever the subject of the miracle that you need, I believe I've received it. Now you see, once you believe you've received it, if you ever think that you don't have it, that's doubt. And I can remember I would sometimes go and sort of say to Caroline, I don't know, perhaps I'm going mad. I put the whole of the ministry on the line with this business and you know, if this $1 million doesn't have, if this money doesn't come, we're way down the chute. And I see, no longer had I said things like that, and I'd have to go away and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Because actually, basically, I was in a place of faith. But you see, you can have these thoughts of doubt come. And what you mustn't do is look back and think, oh, well, perhaps it isn't. No. God has spoken. Yeah. God has given. I don't see it yet, but he's given. Because he's faithful.
Amen.
And he never fails.
Amen.
So, let's have some parting of the Red Sea this morning. Now, this means one of two things for you personally. Perhaps you know you are already in that place. I believe I've received it. Okay, come and get the miracle then. Because I believe that this is what God wants to do this morning. He wants to release into our experience that for which we have been believing him. It may be that there are some others of you that say, well, I'm not quite there yet because I've been believing that God will do it, but I don't believe I have it. Now, for some of you that were in that position at the beginning of this meeting, God might have moved you from there simply by hearing what I've been saying. Why? Because faith comes from hearing the word of Christ proclaimed. So some of you might have said, well, I was there and I'm getting there. And then something has just dropped into your spirit this morning. And God is saying, yes, the miracle is yours. Now, there's going to be two kinds of miracles that are going to happen in the next few minutes. One is people are going to be completely liberated from their past. Now, we know that Jesus did that on the cross, didn't he? He did everything that was necessary to liberate us, right? But, you know, some people, they keep looking back, and so there's residual sort of issues that still seem to afflict them. Well, the miracle for you this morning is to be set free completely from all those residual things, from all the hurt, from all the abuse, from all the harm, from all the negativity, from all the opposition, from all the hurt, from all the pain and everything else that has afflicted you because of the past. He wants to set you free completely.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not just saying these things. I was ministering at a very, very powerful meeting a few days ago where God just set everybody free that we prayed for immediately. Miracles were happening immediately. But it doesn't matter what happened in another place, another time, because the God that led Moses out of Egypt is here. The God who parted the Red Sea is here in this room this morning. So never mind what he did elsewhere at another time, it's what he's going to do here at this time. So people are going to be set free. Not going to pray long prayers. Just going to pray one sentence over you and God will set you free.
That's it. Come on.
The other thing is others of you are going to take hold of the miracle, which has always been in the future until this morning. And the future miracle comes into the present. Because God has really spoken to your heart in these last few minutes, and you said, I'm no longer saying he will, I'm going to say he has. Because I've received this as revelation, not up here in my head, but in my heart. So now I believe in my heart because I've heard it from God. Oh, you might have heard my voice, but actually you heard it from God. It was the Holy Spirit that witnessed it to your heart. It was the Holy Spirit that dropped that seed of truth into your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that is saying to you, come and get your miracle. You see, some of you raised your hands earlier because what you were doing was actually saying, well, I'm reaching out to God for it. Okay, now come and receive it. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
Now, this is church. Church isn't talking about it because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk but of power. And yes, you see, God in his love for us as his children wants to do all this stuff in our lives. But there's all those hurting people out there. And the great thing is that once you've known God has done it in your life, you can believe him to use you to go and do it in the lives of other people out there. You are no longer speaking out of theory. You're speaking out of experience, reality. You know it because I've experienced it. There are so many people with mighty healing ministries because they have been healed by God. So they know the reality of his healing power. And they believe, well, if God could do it for me, he can do it for anybody else. So they begin to pray for other people and see them healed. Any believers in the room? So you see, this is God equipping us. It's not just healing us, he's equipping us. He's saying, right, I want to show you in your life, in your experience, the reality of my power so that you go and overflow with that power in the world. God touches you with his power this morning, something's going to flow out of you. These last few weeks, we've been having a real powerful time here on Sunday mornings. Well, I've had a fresh encounter with God. Others have had fresh encounters with God. What does that do you? It revives your faith. It stirs your faith. It brings you back to a new place. And you think, wait a minute, how did I ever get out of it? But the important thing is that God brings you back to it. So it's right. Yeah, we can have words of knowledge and say God is doing this and God is doing that. But we need to see. Why? Because God sees. Now, one more thing, and then are we ready? And then we're going to pray.
Come on.
Are we going to have the miracles?
Yes.
Okay. He, Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Right, now, in the head, there are four important functions. There's the brain, the eyes, the ears, and the mouth. The head decides what will happen to his church. The head has got his plans for kingdom faith. His plans for kingdom faith are not to be pursued and overcome by the enemy. His plans for kingdom faith are to keep pressing in to more and more and more of the goodness and the greatness of God. That's why we don't look back, we look forward. And whatever Red Sea or mountain comes ahead of us, we are going through because the Lord is with us. So he is the brains. I can only stand up here and say these things this morning because he is telling me to. Now, he's the eyes. If he is the head, he is the eyes. He sees. I mean, he sees already the miracles which in 10 minutes' time will have happened. But they're going to happen within the next 10 minutes because he's already seen them. And he is the mouth who speaks them. Now, why does he use preachers? Because not everybody's listening directly to what he says. So he uses preachers to say, hey, cop hold of this. This is what God is saying. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But he's also the ears.
Yeah.
He's been listening. He's been listening to what you're saying.
Yes.
He's been listening to what you've been praying. He's been listening to what you've been thinking.
Yes, that's true.
Now he knows whether you're up for it or not this morning.
Right.
He knows also if you're one that's just saying, well, I'll sit here and observe and see if anything happens.
Right.
Thank you for your hindrance.
Yeah, that's it.
We are all a people of faith.
Come on.
And you see, the people of faith believe it before they see it.
Right.
You don't need faith for what you see.
Right.
The scripture says, who needs faith for what he sees?
Right.
But we need faith for what we do not see.
Right. That's right.
Amen? But we see it because he sees it. And when we see what he sees, then we see it with the eyes of faith. So whether it's healing, whether it's provision, we all need to, or whatever else, we all need to be in the place. We all need.
Yes.
I mean, if the body has a need, God wants everybody in the body to be in the place of faith, not just the leadership.
That's it.
Hello?
Yes.
So we all need to be in the place of faith where we're not believing he will, but believing he has, that we have it.
Yes.
And if you believe that you have it, you don't speak as if you don't have it. And even just to say he will do it is to say I don't have it yet. Which is to contradict what Jesus says when he teaches us how to pray. That you believe that you have received it. And then it will be yours. See, he doesn't say it will be yours when you believe he will do it. He says it will be yours when you believe you've received it.
Right.
Let me, just before we pray, let me tell you a little secret. When the NIV was first published, and the publisher of my books published it, they sent me a free copy. And before it was sort of in general release, I opened it. First, the first thing I went to was Mark 11 to see how they translated it. And they had translated it that anyone who believes that it will happen, not that he has received it, but that he will receive it. I got on the phone. I said, there is an inaccuracy here. That is not what Jesus says. He said, you believe that you have received it, not that you will receive it. They changed the text. And what you have in your version is believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Because that's what Jesus said.
Come on. Very good.
I don't know if anybody else phoned them, but I was their leading author at the time, so they took some notice of what I said. But you see, there's the big difference, tremendous difference, between being able to appropriate and just being able to live in hope that one day something will happen. Any believers in the room?
Amen.
Let's all stand. All the believers stand up then. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Now just start talking to the Lord. He's been talking to you. Now you talk to him. Say to him, whatever is appropriate for you, from your heart. From your heart. Don't try to con him. If you say, Lord, you know I've only been in a place of hope, not of faith. That the answers have always been in the future, not in the present. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I thank you for the spirit of faith. I thank you for the gift of faith. I thank you for the word of faith operating in my life. Now, Lord, I thank you that you have delivered me from the bondage of Egypt, from the place of slavery, from the place of suffering and abuse and all that went on in Egypt. And thank you, Lord, that your presence goes with me wherever I am, in whatever situation, that the cloud of your glory and the fire of your spirit are within me. I praise you, Lord. Now, you might need to say, Lord, forgive me. If you feel that you've come to your Red Seas, whatever they may be, and you've panicked, or if you've become obsessed with the problem, or if you keep looking at the circumstances instead of looking ahead, Lord, thank you that you don't judge us, you don't condemn us, but you convict us of these things to liberate and free us. Now, some of you may feel that your circumstances have been like a pruning, that God has done. He's been using that situation to prune stuff out of your life, stuff that shouldn't have been there, and he doesn't want to be there. And perhaps it's hurting. Perhaps you've even been tempted to leave Kingdom Faith or just to even walk away from the Lord, because to you it seems at this moment that this is just too much. But what God has in mind is your complete liberation. Amen. He wants to free you from all those things. That's what he prunes out. He prunes out all the stuff that does you no good. So just thank the Lord now for the way he's pruning you, the way he's cutting out those negative things. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Now, if you know that you've received a word of faith from God this morning, just thank him. Take hold of that word. Say, thank you, Lord. You don't look back on my past. That's why I don't need to look back on my past. It's dead, buried, finished with. Thank you that you have no plans for me to be in poverty. You have no plans for me to be in sickness. You have no plans for me to be in need. That all your plans for me, according to your word, are good. You set before me the way of blessing or the way of curse. Well, I've chosen the way of blessing, and your grace abounds to me every day of my life because your purpose is to bless me, so that I can become a greater blessing to others. So I thank you, Lord, that you break the power of everything that has cursed me, of everything that has come against me. And thank you, Lord, that I can take the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the evil one, and you say in your word that you are my shield. And I take that shield against every work of the enemy, against every person that has opposed me, every person that has accused me, every person that in any way has tried to undermine my faith or ridicule me as a believer. I take that shield of faith. I take you, Lord, and you quench all those fiery darts of the evil one. So they cannot hurt me. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. And even if others have opted out, Lord, I'm not opting out. I'm here for the duration. I'm here for your plans and purposes to be fulfilled in my life and in your body here. And I thank you, Lord, that we are the household of faith according to your word. And we stand in faith together. We praise your wonderful name. I was talking two or three weeks ago about Jesus being the yes and the amen. Have you got a yes inside your spirit? If you've got that yes inside your spirit for that complete deliverance from the past, that miracle that you need for the future, just come out of your place and stand here in the front. We're not praying for miracles, we're receiving miracles this morning. Is that all right? I shall need some guys to go with me as I pray. Now, we're not going to make this just a general time of prayer and have lots of people praying, because I'm carrying something this morning. It isn't that God can't use others. It's just that there's something I'm carrying that I'm going to impart to you this morning. Because of what God has been doing in me, I can impart what he's done in me to you. All you've got to do is receive it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.